what you hear couples talking about today. This is my money, this is her money. This is my car, this is her car. This is mine, this is hers. This is mine, this is hers. They talk in terms of two. God's not interested in two because he's trying to create one. So as long as you fight to remain two, no dominion. God will only let you see rule when the two becomes one. Hello, welcome to today's broadcast, and I'm really excited about it because we're going to talk about dominion in marriage. Did you know that marriage was more than just about your happiness? It was about God's dominion. That's why he created the institution. Now you say, what is that all about? Well, that's exactly what we're going to talk about today, how you can rule through your marriage on behalf of the living and true God. Let's go to God's word in Genesis 2 and find out what that's all about. What we're suggesting is that the devil has ripped us off of things that are legally and legitimately ours. God has said, let them rule. On the words of Psalm 115, verse 16, God rules in the heavens, but he has given the earth to men to rule. And so what God has established is a process whereby he will respect the decisions of men within the boundaries he has established. God has not relinquished his sovereignty, but what he has is given a whopping slice of freedom. From every tree of the garden you may freely eat. The heart of legalism is telling you everything you can't do as a Christian. And whenever that list exceeds the list of what you're free to do, then you have gone far and beyond what Scripture has said. God has said, anything I don't restrict, I do allow. So every tree of the garden is yours to eat up from. There is a limitation from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. In other words, you're not to determine independently of me what's good and what's not. God has created Adam. Chapter 2 really is an exposition of chapter 1. God has already said in chapter 1, I'm going to make male and female and I'm going to let them rule. And it says in chapter 1, and so God made a man in his own image. Chapter 2 then comes back around and tells you how he did it and what he did and why he did it. So chapter 2 is explaining the details of a summary given in chapter 1. God has made this garden, this unique place of service, this unique calling, and he only creates one of mankind at a time. Unlike the animals, which he creates in groups, he doesn't create man that way. He creates man in a distinct process for a distinct reason. That's what we want to look at today. Verse 18 says, then the Lord God said, it is not good for man to be alone. The Lord God said, it is not good for man to be alone. I will make him a help suitable for him. God said, it's not good. In fact, it's the only thing God said that was not good. Everything else he's created thus far, and it was good, and it was good, and it was good. But with Adam out there doing his thing by himself, God says, that's not good. The boy needs help. Okay? Now, needs help for what is the question. What does he need help for? Help to do what? What has God told him to do? God has told him to rule. God has told him to have dominion. God has told him to subdue the earth. God has called him to run nature. The reason why God determined that Adam needed help was in order to fulfill the mandate of exercising authority on God's behalf on planet earth. In other words, God didn't give him Eve, we'll talk about that in a moment, just so he could have some company. He gave him Eve so that he would have somebody to collaborate with in achieving the goal for which he was created in the first place. So the reason God gives a man a wife is not just so there's somebody who can cook, just so there's somebody who can clean, and just so there's somebody who can wipe running noses. The reason why he gives a man a wife is because the man does not have everything he needs to rule well. The first reason that God created Eve has nothing to do with sexuality. It has to do with calling. The animals could have sex and have babies, but the animals were not created to have dominion. The thing that makes Adam and Eve different than animals who can procreate is that they were uniquely given the responsibility as male and female to dominate. Let me put it another way. When a man rejects the collaborative presence of a woman, he has eclipsed the rule of God in his life and therefore has limited what God is free to do in giving to him the spiritual authority he was meant to have, because he was refused the divinely ordained help God has authorized him to use. If God provides the help, it's because you need the help. So if you don't use the help, you don't get the help. So you don't exercise the authority. It is not good at this point. It was good for a while, Adam, because I made you by yourself and you were handling your business. But now it's no longer good that you operate in managing your realm like I want it to be managed and experiencing your authority like I want it to be experienced, unless you have help. And that help must be, here it is, suitable. The word suitable means essential contributor that is specifically designed to complement. In other words, the woman's point of view is not extra information. It is essential information. Whenever a man makes major decisions who's married that he does not consult with his mate about first to get her in-depth perception, he will make the decision without all the necessary information. Men will often argue their decisions logically. Women will bring to the table not only their own logical perspectives, but because God has created women with more nerve endings in the brain, he will give them a feeling about it. He will give them a sense about it. He will give them an intuition about it. And while for a man it may sound good on paper, a woman will say, but ain't something missing in that. Something don't feel right about that. Something just doesn't fit about that. And while the man has been given the freedom to make the final decision as the head, we'll talk about that later, but while God has given him the headship role, that headship role must take into full consideration the total input of the help he needs, because without that help, he will make a decision that is not fully informed. So God has created a helper who is suitable, that is, who is an essential contributor to the process of ruling well. The husband that does not use the help that God provides is a fool. God did not create a woman just to cook or clean or take care of the kids. He created her to be an essential assistant for the fulfillment of the dominion goal of ruling your world well. So then, the reason for a helpmate, in addition to the management of the home, is to be an essential contributor to the rulership and calling that God has given to the man. I will make a helper suitable for him. So, that's just verse 18. out of the ground, the Lord formed every beast of the field and every bird of the sky and brought them to man to see what he would name them. And whatever the man called a living creature, that was its name. The man gave names to all the cattle, birds in the sky, and every beast of the field. God gave the man the power of naming. Naming means to exercise authority over that which you designate. Naming is not nomenclature, just saying words. Naming had to do with dominion. And whatever you named came under your authority. So God gave man the responsibility and the authority of naming that is governing that which he declares. So the beauty of being a man in this dominion piece is you get to name it, and whatever you name it, God endorsed. God says, I'm going to bring it to Adam. Adam, you call it what you want. Whatever you call it, you got it. That's freedom tied to authority as long as it's connected with God. Now watch this. This is very important, men. The reason why it's very important is God brought it. He named it. In other words, Adam had to be subordinate to God.
We'll return for more of today's message right after this special announcement from Dr. Evans. Now return to today's message.
Now, where we get ready to go with this is going to be deep, because many men want women to be subordinate to them when they're not subordinate to God. And you can't demand a subordination that you're not illustrating. You can't say submit to me, but I submit to nobody. You can't say ask me, but I'm not going to ask anybody. No, he had to subordinate himself to God before God gave him somebody to subordinate themselves to him. Because you got to model what you're demanding. If you're under nobody, then God's going to let you see the headache you're giving him by allowing you to get one yourself. And for many men, the rebellion that we are experiencing at home is related to the rebellion God is experiencing in heaven. He's saying, okay, you're not going to follow me. I'm going to let you see what that looks like. She ain't going to listen to a word you say. She's going to tell you, you ain't her daddy. So ask Adam gets the opportunity of naming, exercising dominion, bringing nature under his subordination. That's ruling. Ruling is where you're operating under God and you speak to a thing that God wants you to rule over, and then God brings that thing under your control. So then, he says he named it and God endorsed it. But for Adam, there was not found a helper suitable for him. So Adam is out there naming everything from the aardvark to the zebra, A to Z. So he's done this naming. He's claimed authority. Why? Because he's operating as a subordinate underneath God in the context of his calling. God establishes him. By the way, before he gives him a mate, he gives him a J-O-B. Trust me, ladies, if he don't have a job, he ain't gonna find his calling. All right? God gives him responsibility and calling before he gives him an Eve. Verse 21. So the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man, and he slept. I love that phrase. God caused a deep sleep, and he slept. If God puts you to sleep, you're gonna sleep. He causes a deep sleep to fall upon the man, and he took out one of his ribs and closed up the flesh at that place. So Adam gets sliced open on the side. The word rib means side. So this cavity along his side is now removed. So he's like, shall we say, half the man he used to be. Because part of him is missing. In other words, watch this now. He had to lose something to get something. He had to give up something to gain something. Why does God take it out of his side? Because that's the spot she was to fill in. His side. She was to walk by his side, stand by his side, serve by his side, lead by his side. She's supposed to be by his side. So he took out the side that was to be filled in. He goes out and he fashions a woman from the rib which he had made. Now, when the Bible talks about God, you creating a man, he doesn't say he fashioned them. He just took dirt, threw it together. He doesn't use this word. He just says God created man from the ground. That's just dirt. Just take some dirt. Just throw it together. But then when it came to a woman, he took his time. Yeah. Let's work a little bit more here. A little bit more there. The father looked at the son and said, that's what I'm talking about. He takes the rib and he fashions the woman. Then he takes the woman's hand and brings her to Adam. She doesn't wake up at 25. Oh, I'm 25. I'm not married yet. She doesn't go through all of that. What? All she sees when she wakes up is the hand of God. God grabs her hand. Say, I want to show you somebody. Takes her over here and introduces her to Adam. The best way to find your mate is to function in your calling with your hand in God's hand so that he can click the mouse to the right direction that you ought to go. He brings her to Adam. He brings her to Adam. And then we got the nuptials. The man said, this is now. The Hebrew phrase there, this is a very difficult Hebrew phrase to translate. The closest translation we can get to the phrase this is now is good gugga mugga. Yeah, the phrase this is now means whoa. That's really the sentiment behind this is now. So, but they didn't know that when they translated the Bible, so they had to use this is now, okay? This is now bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh, she shall be called woman. Okay, watch this now. He names her. Remember, he names all the beasts of the field. Okay, ladies, that's why you have to take his name, all right? I know about all this liberation stuff out here and all this wild stuff out here. Well, I want my maiden name, the Charmaine of it. Forget that. He said, this is your name. And your name is now my name. Because my name is Adam, which means man. It's from the ground. You were taken out of my womb. So, womb man, you bear my name. That's why, biblically, you take his name. You take his name because you come under his government. Remember? Naming is governmental authority. You take his name because you come under his legitimate, not illegitimate, but legitimate government. So he names her. She is to come under his governing authority, his dominion, which he is now operating underneath God, if he's doing it correctly. She is equal to him in essence, yet different from him in function. Like Jesus is equal to God in essence, but different than God in function. She is to function as a subordinate. She is to be treated as an equal. Now watch this. He says, bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh, she shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Now, then we have the nuptials, the first wedding ceremony. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. This is real interesting that a man should leave his father and mother, since Adam and Eve didn't have a father or mother. So basically, what he's saying is, if I had a mama or daddy, I'd leave them for her. Notice, it's the man who's leaving, not the woman. The woman is following his lead in leaving. He is to leave his father and mother. Now, let's not misunderstand that, because a lot of times in the Bible, whole families had to travel together. Leaving father and mother means his allegiance and his alliance was to first and foremost be to his mate. He is now to leave and make secondary his relationship to his parents. He's still supposed to honor his father and mother. He's supposed to support his parents if he is able. He's supposed to speak properly to his parents and not, the Bible says, curse them. So he is to honor his parents, but they are no longer to be the priority bond in the relationship. She is to feel that she is first. She is to feel that she matters most. She is to feel like you have cleaved. The word cleave means stick like glue. It means bond. He is to bond, and she is to join him. He makes Eve, and Eve is there, and he leaves. She joins him, and they are, here it is, becoming one flesh. The two must become one to get something new. Becoming one flesh means creating something new from the two. Here's what you hear couples talking about today. This is my money. This is her money. This is my car. This is her car. This is mine. This is hers. This is mine. This is hers. They talk in terms of two. God's not interested in two because he's trying to create one. So as long as you fight to remain two, no dominion. God will only let you see rule when the two becomes one. That's why 1 Peter 3:7 says, when a husband and wife are out of fellowship and out of harmony, tell the man, don't bother to pray, because I'm not listening, because the two are two and they're not one. That's why the devil wants to keep the two of you living in the same house, sleeping in the same bed, but not functioning as one. Functioning as one doesn't mean the male becomes a female and the female becomes a male. They keep their unique gender, but they are functioning as one. They are moving in the same direction. Okay, here's how. There are three parts to you. Body, soul, and spirit. Body, that's physical attraction. That's the first thing people see. That's where they're grooving with the look. They like what they see, okay? Then there is soul. Soul is your personality. That's where you're liking the same things. You have the same interests. There's mutual intellectual stimulation because the soul is the mind, emotions, and the will. And so you're grooving with each other. That's when people say, I found my soulmate, because we can kind of groove together. Then there's this third piece of you that's called the spirit. But the Spirit now, that gives you a God grounding. That's the deepest form of intimacy, the deepest level of intimacy. If the personality thing needs to be worked on, when the physical thing changes, that gives the God grounding for the whole thing. And so it is oneness, body, soul, and spirit. All of them come together to form something new. That's why the issue in marriage is, how do we work to get on the same page so that we can exercise dominion? Because God will do things for you together He will never do when you're separated. Verse 25. And the man and his wife were both naked and not ashamed. Here they are, no clothes on, not ashamed, at total ease with one another, no fear of exploitation, total openness and trust, complete unity and solidarity, and not have to waste time taking clothes off. Okay. In other words, they were ready to knock boots at any time. In other words, sex was a natural, normal, regular part of the relationship. The man wasn't walking around talking about, you denied me for the last 3 months. No, because she was ready to go, because she was always at ease. She wasn't ever frustrated. She wasn't having headaches. She wasn't irritated, because she was so secure with her brand. That's what the text says. It says they were naked and not ashamed. There were no limitations. The Bible teaches the only folk that shouldn't be having sex regularly are single people. Not regularly at all. He says, but what the Bible says about married people is shop till you drop. But it's not because it's forced, it's because there's so much ease. So much ease created by one flesh. Created by the two becoming one in every other area and not just that area. And that starts with the man accepting his responsibility and his role as subordinate under God. And then letting that align itself all the way down. What God is saying is that the creation of husband and wife was tied to dominion. Not just, I don't want to be by myself. Not just, I want somebody to keep me company. Not just, I need a maid service. It was tied to, I need somebody who will fill in the gap. When he lost his rib and got his rib back, guess what he got back? More than what he lost. Because God fashioned to the rib into so much more. So God gives you your rib back plus.
Well, I hope you both inspired, challenged, convicted, and all the other things necessary for you to fight for your family, fight for your marriage. And that's why we have this series, Marriage Matters, Volume 1. It will give you key messages on the meaning of marriage, what it's supposed to be, how it's supposed to function, and how it can really be a winning institution when done God's way. You call us at 1-800-800-3222 or log on to tonyevans.org and get your Marriage Matters compilation, Volume 1. We'll get it out to you right away. And you'll see all the other resources we have for you. For a gift of any amount, we will send it to you. Remember, your generous gift helps to keep this ministry operating and coming to you and many others. So be as generous as you can. We'll get you out this series right away. God bless you. Be with you again next week.